Okay. So Josh, you got the packet that Vicky sent out Friday, but then she sent some updates yesterday, I believe.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, well then I'm going to call the meeting to order. So first order of business is approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve.
Great. Second it. Any discussion on the minutes?
None for me.
None for me either. So, all those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Great.
Nailed it this time, Vicky.
Minutes are approved. Wow. All right. So the next item of business is approval of the loans, and I believe there are three loans currently listed. Rich, do you want to share an overview on that?
Sure. They've been approved for public purpose by the Attorney General's office. The only one that really merits any discussion is River Ridge School. This is going to be phase one of a two-phase project regarding their athletic fields and some other site improvements for Scholastic work. Other than that, the Twin Lakes, they're buying a fire truck, and the Village of Maribel is financing some utility expenses within a TID district.
Okay. So is there a motion to approve the loans?
I have a question also, but I'll move first.
Great. I second that.
My question is, I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. The loan amount is less than the amount that would lead to a referendum requirement for the school district. Is that right?
Yes. This loan is being approved under the $1 million exemption that's provided under state statutes. Every school district has the right to have $1 million of outstanding debt that had not received elector approval. And they're using that process for this loan. Phase two of this project is going to be for another $1 million approximately deal. And they are going to, for that loan, the approval process will be publishing the notice and then waiting for a 30-day petition period where the electors have the right to collect enough signatures to force a referendum. And assuming that after that 30-day petition period, enough signatures have not been collected, it's deemed elector approved. And so they can move forward at that time.
And for the second phase, that's the typical process for potential referendum. Is that right?
So yes, it is.
Okay, that's all the questions I have.
Okay. So it's moved in and seconded. All those in favor of approving the loan say aye. Aye.
Aye.
The loans are approved. Seeing there's no old business, we'll move straight to new business. And the fourth item, we're just going to skip. We'll talk about it maybe at the next May meeting. So we're just going to get right to the report.
Can I say something about this?
Sure.
I'm a little uneasy drafting legislation as staff for something that doesn't relate to the BCPL agency directly. It seems more like a board issue.
And I actually...
So would you stand ready to help?
No, Jonathan. I actually agree with that because I also don't feel comfortable with you drafting legislation for my office. So,
I would expect that, yeah.
My thoughts on this is maybe we can talk about this offline with Doug.
Okay.
Because I'll be honest, I think it would be helpful maybe if I think there's a larger strategy associated with this conversation.
I'm aware of that.
And I just think it's having a conversation with Doug about what that larger strategy is, and I want to make sure our timing is right. I'm also super sensitive on staff resources, and I just don't know if this is something we want to invest our time in right now. So,
well, I did feel I needed to cause it to be put on the agenda because Doug had requested staff to write this draft.
Yeah.
But now that, thank you, because I do think it's something that Tom and I'd be very happy to assist, but it's not something that we can
make out a whole cloth.
So how about this? Maybe an action item for Smitty and I will be to talk. We'll set up a meeting with Doug, and we'll talk to him about this.
Cool beans.
I would urge caution.
Okay.
Anytime two commissioners are meeting by themselves, it's got to be clear that you're not talking about BCPL, that you are talking about something else.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's going to be considered a...
No, that's a good point, Tom. So I guess...
Yeah, and along those lines, what I was going to say is, so BCPL, I think, as a group, has an interest in this matter because it relates to the... You know, the collection of funds that that are being administered by the board. So I certainly think this is a topic that BCPL should be considering. But this also does go, as you were just indicating, Sarah, specifically, at least to the extent you've been discussing it, specifically to the powers of the state treasurer. And you know, my thought is that given that it is, although it impacts BCPL, it is you know, ultimately about the powers of the treasurer. My thought is that, you know, that makes sense. It makes sense for the treasurer's office to decide how to proceed, and then for BCPL to sort of react to that. You know, and if it's something that BCPL wants to support, of course, we can discuss that at that point. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. No, I think that's spot on, Josh. And so I think to Tom's point, I just want to make sure we're communicating that to Doug, because I think it will continue to be a front and center issue. So I want him to know that we care about this. It's just part of a larger strategy. So we'll just have to think about how we make sure we address that, to your point, Tom, being very cognizant of the meeting rules associated with that.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly could discuss it at the next meeting is one way to approach that.
Yeah. I think, here's kind of my recommendation is me having and people can be present, we just have an offline conversation, I think, to just explain it to Josh, or to Doug, in kind of the larger picture.
Tom can speak to the open meeting part of this, but I think it's best to do it at our next meeting because that way there will be all the notice and all the requirements that go into an open meeting, which Tom, Tom, I assume that's, you know, I assume there's a standard process you follow to notice the meeting.
Josh, I agree with you. That's the cleanest way to deal with it. I mean, it's okay for BCPL staff to reach out to Doug and say that it's going to be queued up for the next meeting. His concerns were considered, and it's going to be brought up at the next meeting.
Okay, so it sounds like the best way forward is we'll just have this as an agenda item, but we will talk to him about this offline because there's a lot of, I guess, there's just a further conversation that needs to happen.
Yes, but when we talk about we talking to him, I think it's better for staff to, in essence, inform him that you feel this is something central to your office and that you are proceeding independently, but it will be brought up at the next meeting.
Okay.
So keeps you square, keeps Doug.
I want to be squeaky clean, Tom, so.
Sarah, the best, right, that's why I was suggesting we just do it at the next meeting. That's a public meeting.
Great.
It's a straightforward way to do it.
Okay. That sounds good. So then the next piece is the BCPL exciting commitment to generator. So, Rich, do you want to
about that? Sure. I wanted to keep the board informed at the last investment committee meeting. There was a unanimous vote to move towards a commitment of $3 million to Generator Fund 7. Generator is a seed stage investor in small companies. They're similar to the other venture capital funds that we have made commitments to, but they're earlier companies than the Stage A investments that we have made in the past. You know, the $3 million commitment is expected to be funded $1 million over the next 3 years from the Common School Fund. Generator has had success in the past. This is their Fund 7. Three of their funds have matured to this point where they can be compared to other peer groups, and they have done very well for their investors in addition to generating and helping many companies grow significantly. Their average fund in the past, their first three funds have averaged over 15% annual return for their investors, which is in the top quartile for their peer groups. So we're excited to be involved. We're excited to help this venture seed fund move forward with establishing some new companies in Madison, Milwaukee, the Twin Cities, and Cincinnati, and we have high expectations.
Josh, and this is Sarah. I just want to thank Rich, Tom, and Jonathan for all their work. I mean, there's a lot of due diligence on our end and in these investment committees to even come to the decision to commit $3 million. And the other piece that I'm really excited about with this investment is that it is not only going to deliver strong financial returns, but it also has a significant impact in Wisconsin. And the work that Generator is doing for small businesses is exciting, and I think something that we can also start talking about with regards to the Common School Fund doing these win-win investments that are not only helping to ensure strong returns for our kids, but also doing good things in the community. So I think the impact, both from a financial perspective, but also from the community aspect, is noteworthy, and I'm really excited about this investment for the Common School Fund.
Thank you, Sarah, for raising that point, and I just want to echo what Sarah said, which is thank you to the BCPL staff for your work on this.
Okay, so any other, Jonathan, Tom, any comments on your end about Generator?
No, I think it's a good report, and we really did dig into it in depth, and I'm reasonably confident this is a darn good decision on the part of the investment committee. You know, you can never be sure, but it's as sure as we can be.
Right. We do it feeling good about it, that's for sure.
Well, and there's been diligence in it, and I think that the track record of the Generator Group, plus the excitement in this community, is just valuable.
Great. So then, if there's no other new business, we're going to move on to routine business. You know, I'm going to actually skip, Jonathan, to you, and then I'll...
Yeah, can I bring up one thing for potentially new business next time?
Sure.
And that is, typically, you know, the governor's introduced his budget, and it would be helpful, and we have a couple of thoughts on that budget, but one in particular. It would be helpful, I think, if the board were to generally endorse the budget, and... Because we don't, you know, it's, again, it's an issue of are we authorized to speak on anything? And I'm much more comfortable to be, you know, meeting with legislators, because I'm already meeting with them and getting questions, if we had that. And Tom has a suggestion that I concur with on something that we think we'd like to be able to request be added to the governor's budget. It's very minor, but it's related to gifts and grants. So, in other words, we'd like to be able to go in and say to a legislator, our board is in support of this budget. We'd like to you to consider adding this one thing, and maybe Tom can example it. Because if we're getting grants, we don't have any place to put them under DOA rules right now. We've got no gift and grant line.
So, to start with, I think it would make sense for the board to adopt a position either endorsing the governor's budget request or rejecting and asking for something else. However, I think it's perfectly fine for the board to say we generally endorse it. However, we respectfully request that Joint Finance consider amending it slightly to provide a gifts and grants line appropriation to BCPL. At the time that we submitted our budget request was last September. We were unaware that we are virtually the only agency in state government that doesn't have a gifts and grants line appropriation. And partly it had to do with the fact that we didn't get gifts or grants from other people. And out of the blue, we were approached by a group that was offering us a grant to do some work on our lands up north. And since we don't have a gifts and grants line appropriation, it doesn't flow through our budget as cleanly in accordance with the accounting that normally happens with a gift or a grant. So this would be something that would not be a huge change. It would not be something that would affect GPR at all in any way. It just, in essence, would provide a cleaner way of accounting for gifts or grants that were provided to the agency.
The specific grant that gets presented to us right now is causing some difficulty with DOA in terms of how to enter it and how to allow us to spend it. But that's the grant from the Rough Grouse Society, isn't it, Tom?
Yes.
That came to us saying that they wanted to have a handle on more access to our property, but we don't know where all of our roads are. So they said, we'll help you. We'll give you some money to identify all your roads. Mm-hmm. Well, this could have benefit for tourism, could have benefit for a number of things. So we'd like to be able to accept that money. Also, we've hired this outstanding forester, Kevin Burns, from Stevens Point, and he's all about getting grants. He's liable to come up with several for us that'll be helpful. So we'd like a place to park them.
So two questions, I guess, about this. One is, have boards in the past endorsed a budget?
Yeah.
And then how did they go about sharing that? Did they, like, write a letter and submit it? Like, did they just, in a meeting, said, item of business, we endorse the governor's budget?
Exactly.
Correct.
Okay.
It's just in the minute. And it gives us the ability to talk with a legislator saying,
okay,
our board has endorsed the budget.
Sure.
We have this one thing we'd respectfully like you to consider adding. That's it in a nutshell. By the way, this is new business, so we're bringing it up for the next board meeting.
Yep, I think that's great.
And so I just wanted to give you a heads up.
Language,
and I'll run it by you before we do that.
Yeah. And I think I was just curious if this were with precedent in the past about endorsing the budget. So.
Did the governor's budget request include, how did it compare to the request that BCPL had submitted?
It's just what we asked for in September. Tom can elaborate to that, but it's basically only necessary adjustments.
Just standard budget adjustments. And so there was no additional funding asked for anything. So the only adjustments to our budget were for increased leasing costs to DOA and standard adjustments in accordance with the salary adjustments that the governor has proposed.
I realize there may be, it may be easier to pass something in the budget process, could BCPL just request standalone legislation creating a gift and grant appropriation line?
Absolutely.
We could indeed. The budget's a nice vehicle because it is a fiscal issue, and it doesn't require any GPR investment.
I think all of this makes sense.
I guess I'll add one other comment. We would clear this with the governor's office as well. I mean, it's just common sense.
Yeah.
And have you had conversations with members of the legislature to assess their views as to the BCPL budget or this issue?
Not really, Josh, because we really don't have authority to talk about the budget yet. In the past, we've had issues like this that has been passed on by joint finance.
But I think in an indirect way, Josh, I mean, whether it's Jonathan, Tom, the BCPL team, or even myself, we've been having really good conversations with the legislature.
Yeah.
That have been really positive, and I think that session that we mentioned last meeting with regards to the welcoming of freshmen and kind of our value, we hope to do another session, just continues to emphasize the work that we do in their districts and kind of the difference that the BCPL is making within their community. So I don't think this year there's any concerns about attacking the BCPL like there might have been in the past.
I may add one more thought, if I may. When we request you endorsing the budget, we're requesting you endorse the provision of the budget that affects BCPL.
Yeah.
Neither Tom nor I or Rich are going to go out talking about the rest of the budget to any legislator. It's not our business.
Yeah.
That all it makes sense for us to pick that up. soon, I think. And the reason I asked about the budget versus non-budgetary approach is that it may end up being much faster if you had sufficient support in the legislature to pass standalone legislation. So that's the reason I thought it was worth raising that possibility.
You're preaching to the choir, and I'd already run it past some budget analysts upstairs, and the responses I got were, yeah, it might be faster, might not be, it depends. So I think from our standpoint, we would take an agnostic approach, that we would look at it going either way, whichever way is the cleaner and better and faster way of getting it done, we would do.
So I think to that point, maybe if we could have these as two separate agenda items. I think one is, you know, determining an endorsement of the BCPL's budget that the governor's laid out, and then the second one is adding gifts and grants. So they're two separate new business items.
You want me to go now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't have much to say. I've been continuing, Tom and I have been sojourning around the legislature. We got a call from Representative LeMahieu's office about a project in Sheboygan with a group that is proposing to do a fairly significant soccer complex. They wanted to know if we could be a player in the financing for it. So we went right over to talk to Representative LeMahieu's chief of staff, who's also on joint finance.
Mm-hmm.
Got two birds with one stone. I'm not sure we'll be able to help them, but they now know that we stand ready to work with them.
Okay.
Similarly, I got a call last week from Senator Coles, Chief of Staff Tony Herkert. Tom and I went over to talk to them. They're considering some legislation as it relates to lead laterals for school districts.
Mm-hmm.
And they are looking for... They were thinking about a preference for borrowing from BCPL, and I explained to them, no, our board has got full discretion on who we invest with, and the legislature doesn't have the authority to direct an investment. But we would work with you on anything else, and Tom brought up a really good suggestion, I think, as it relates to existing clean water legislation, actually sewage water legislation, that allows for an interest rate subsidy for something like that. So we're progressing with Representative Cowell's office, which I think is useful. He's, you know, co-chair of the audit committee, too.
Right.
So we really try and make them work well. The other thing I'd like to bring up is that Tom and I went up to see Stacy Ralston in the Department of Personnel Management, and we've got a process underway that I understand Sarah has reinforced related to competitive salaries within the agency, and there'll be more on that later. That's the end of my report.
Thanks, Jonathan. So I have three things. The first one is legal. So I met Josh with one of your deputy district attorneys, Jenny
Vandermuth.
Yes, Vandermuth. We walked through the audit in detail, and Tom, Jenny might reach out to you because I think she was going to get some more information possibly. If you haven't heard from her, just giving you a heads up.
Which audit?
About the auditing of unclaimed property. And so...
This is about the state treasurer's authority to
authority
audit.
And potentially doing, since we know that hasn't happened. So Jenny and I, I'll take a step back. We talked about, A, the state treasurer's ability potentially with unclaimed property and audits. And then the second thing that we talked about was the lame duck legislation and the money with forfeitures to the Common School Fund. So where it is now is Jenny is kind of working these issues. I've put them as a tier one for her. And she will, I mean, I think she said she'd get back to us in about 2 weeks. With some more information, but I just wanted to say that we are working on it, and they're moving forward. So that's the legal update. Second one is just to emphasize, Jonathan, what you said. I met with the Deputy Secretary of DOA just to make sure that you know, the VCPL staff is compensated accordingly and what we need to do to stay competitive, and they will be our advocate in the personnel arena. So they confirmed that, so I think that's great news. And then the third piece is we did an hour meet and greet with the secretary of the DNR yesterday. And just want to thank Tom and Mike for putting those maps together.
That was Mike.
Thanks, Mike. It was incredibly helpful, and they are really excited to work with us on these properties. They actually literally just formed a relationship with the Department of Transportation to pool their mitigation banking capabilities so they can use them more effectively. And so what they are going to do, they asked for 30 days, is to look at, and we have to do some additional follow-up, but they want to look at what they can do for mitigation banking with the current land, because they think that there's actually a lot more opportunity now that they've got DOT involved. There's a lot more credits available for us to leverage that land. And then the second thing is that if they're not able to do for certain parcels of land mitigation credits, are they able to do assessments and look at it from, again, like potentially ecotourism or some sort of ecological kind of partnership? And then there was a third thing that they talked about, was there might be some federal opportunities. So the deputy undersecretary for DNR was there, and she came from the federal government. And so she had some ideas on maybe how this land can be purchased through different programs that she's aware of. So they want to reconnect in 30 days, but I think it was an overall really positive meeting, and they look forward to partnering us moving forward. So that's an update on the DNR. So that's my update.
I guess we're completing the meeting.
So, yeah, are there any other, we talked about future agenda items. Josh, anything on your end?
Just one quick follow-up question. Tom, you were talking about Senator Coles asking about potential loans for addressing lead laterals. Is there, do we know what the follow-up on that is, or what the next steps are there?
We had the Ledge Council was in this meeting as well.
At this point in time, there are no follow-ups coming from our end. The fact is, I think Senator Cole's office was not prepared really to publicize this yet. They're still working on trying to figure out what exactly they're trying to achieve there, and they're still working with Ledge Council attorneys and figuring out what the universe of possibilities are there. So we anticipate hearing back from them sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I think they do have, you do know what they're trying to achieve. They're trying to achieve a clearer result in terms of lead abatement in daycares and schools. And so their motive is to clean up the water in the most efficacious way they can. They're looking for financing, they're looking for partnerships and whatnot. But Tom's right, they haven't quite got it figured out yet, so they're not ready to go prime time, but we're in the mix with them.
Okay, so we may be hearing further from them on this, and we can...
Josh, I would expect that we will, yes.
Okay, and then we would address proposals as they come in, I assume.
Yes, I mean, once they realize that the legislature doesn't have the authority to override the board of the commissioners, and that was not a hard issue. They understood it immediately. They're looking for ways to partner, and I think it's a healthy relationship that we can achieve.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. All right. We'll see no other business under the agenda. I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Great. It's been moved and seconded, so all those in favor say aye.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, Sarah. The meeting is adjourned. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate
it. Thank you.